talking about a home.
From the people who bring you Charleston Home and Design Magazine, the Charleston Home and Design Show, and Charleston's online home show, charlestonhomeanddesign.com, this is Talking About a Home. Talking About a Home is a home show on the radio, featuring interviews with local experts, home tips, trends, and ideas you need to know to make your home better. This is Talking About a Home.
Honey, come over. The party's gone slower, and no one will tempt you. We know you got sober. There's orange juice in the kitchen, bought for the children. It's yours if you want it. We're just glad you could visit. Feels like I've been ready for you to come home so long.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Tim Barkley with Charleston Home and Design Magazine, and I want to thank you for listening to another edition of Talking About a home show on the radio. This week's home theme song was Orange Juice by Noah Kahan, in addition to the great Chris Isaacs Talking About a Home, and special thanks to today's show producer, Ashley Rowell. That Noah Kahan song, he will be performing at the High Water Festival tonight, and my daughter Reese will be celebrating her 16th birthday, and we'll be out at that show. She picked that song. I asked her to see if she could find a home theme song, and she came up with that in about 10 seconds. Well, in addition to our radio show Talking About a Home, we also published Charleston Home and Design Magazine, winner of the American Society of Interior Designers Excellence in Design Media Award, and also winner of the American Institute of Architects Charleston Chapter's Honor Award for Journalism. You may also be familiar with the Charleston Home and Design Show, which we organize, happens every January. Well, today we've got a great show lined up for you. I would say that today, if there was a theme for today's show, it would be a design-centric theme. And so with that in mind, we're going to be talking with architect Evan Goodwin with Pierce Scott Architects. Also, interior designer Amber Rose with Simply Curated Designs. And then finally, we'll be talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. Well, this is an exciting time for Charleston Home and Design Magazine. The new issue, our spring issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine has been out for about a week, and I've been busy filling up those empty racks that we filled up at the beginning of April, and we always have this big rush when the new issue comes out, and people are interested in getting their hands on it. So we've been busy making sure everybody can pick up a copy of the new issue of Charleston Home and Design Magazine. And this is our spring issue as our annual bathroom issue. And so you're going to be able to see over 60 local bathroom projects. And the great thing about Charleston Home and Design Magazine is we don't just show you beautiful photos of projects around town. We that's great in itself, just for to provide you with inspiration for a project you may be thinking of. But we also tell you exactly who the people are involved with those projects, whether it be where the tile came from, or where the plumbing fixtures came from, or who did the work, who was the general contractor, or who installed the vanities or the countertops, the shower enclosures, all of that. And so It's a Charleston Home and Design magazine is a great tool for people that are thinking about who are either actively remodeling or building a custom home or getting ready to. It's a great source. And the other great thing about the new issue, we've got Amy Romfo, and she is a home and style influencer and social media sensation on the cover. And she opened up her home. Amy is very interesting. She comes up with all these really interesting DIY projects that she posts, and has become quite famous for that. She's got a couple hundred thousand followers, I believe, on Instagram. So, and lives right here in the Charleston area. So we're, I had some relatives visiting last weekend, and they said, "How do you come up with all, you know, it's the all these famous people to put on the cover of Charleston Home and Design magazine?" And we're lucky. We live in a place that is has a lot of incoming folks that are moving here, and they just have chosen Charleston to be the place they want to live, whether they work outside of town or not. But we're very excited about the new spring issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine. Make sure to pick up a copy. And then we also have our big custom built feature, and this features quite a few custom builders and the projects that they were involved with. Have a great weekend. And now we're talking with architect Evan Goodwin with Pierce Scott Architects. How are you doing, Evan?
I'm doing well. How are you, Tim?
Good, good. Evan, take a moment and tell everyone about Pierce Scott Architects.
Sure. We are a small custom residential and commercial architecture firm in Old Town Bluffton. We've been around for 11 years now. We work on mostly custom residential projects, high end, but we also do some smaller commercial projects in the area as well. And a little bit of master planning, space planning. So a little bit of everything.
Gotcha. All right. And so Pierce Scott Architects, you folks are based out of Bluffton, south of Charleston, but you're more than happy to work with homeowners here in the Charleston area.
Absolutely. We've primarily worked in the Bluffton area, but we've also worked up closer to Charleston and Poplar Grove, Kiowa River. We've gone as far as Tennessee, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina. So we're happy to work outside of the Bluffton area as well. As everybody knows, after COVID, it's been much easier to conduct interviews and client meetings via Zoom. So we've gotten pretty good at that.
Right. So Pierce Scott Architects, you folks can help people with designing their custom homes. Does Pierce Scott Architects work with on remodel projects too?
We do. We work on selective remodel projects. We mostly focus on custom residential, but we will do a little bit of remodel here and there.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. The interesting thing is there are some folks that wonder whether they need an architect involved in their project when they're building a custom home or a large remodel project. And, but if you ask a homeowner who has worked with an architect in the past, they will tell you that they would never not work with an architect in the future. What's the architect difference? Why should someone not cut that corner, and why should they work with an architect in general?
Yeah, that's a great question. And to your point, our past clients are our greatest salesmen. We often say that, you know, people sort of think they know what they want when they're thinking about a new home or even a remodel, and they may have some inspiration images and ideas of what they want a space to feel like. But often an architect has just that extra bit of training to help them sort of dilute a lot of the ideas that clients will have and turn it into something that they might not have thought of otherwise, but ends up being exactly what they want. So there's a lot of value built into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I'm writing down that phrase, might not know what they want. And because that is so true. When we built our home in 2009, we worked with an architect, and she came up with ideas that we would have never thought of. And to this day, probably a week does not go by where I don't think about one aspect of the home and say, boy, I'm glad I hired an architect, because I would have never thought of this or that, or you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of it is really from the architect side of things, knowing what questions to ask. We'll often start off projects by asking clients, well, how do you live now in your home? What frustrates you? What are you missing? What do you think you could use that would make your life easier day to day? It could be as simple as the sort of route you take from your garage into the back kitchen to drop off your groceries, or even just waking up with a certain view in the morning and taking your coffee over on a little nook that, you know, you don't have in your current home, but would be great to sit and read the morning news at.
Mm-hmm. What do you say to those folks that are thinking about buying a set of house plans online versus having the house plans custom drawn by an architect an architect firm like Pierce Scott Architects?
Sure. You know, we certainly we see the value in that for sure. We actually offer about 60 plans that we have created over the past years as a firm, because we know that custom residential is often not the route for everyone. It can often be a more expensive route than going with a plan that's already been drawn. And if you're not looking to reinvent the wheel, then that may be a route for you. What custom plans, I think, offer is a home that will really feel like yours. It's not, you know, you might have a corner in your home now that just really bugs you. You're always thinking of a project of, you know, what could I do with this space to make it better? And what a custom route does is kind of helps you get all of those ideas fleshed out ahead of time, so that when you finally move into a home that was designed custom for you, it really feels like an extension of you and your family.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we built our home, it was a newer neighborhood, and we walked through a few of the homes that had already been built, and one of the interesting things was in some of the first houses in our neighborhood were not drawn by an architect. They were drawn by a draftsman, and I remember my wife and I like looking at this separate dining room space. And it was staged. It had a dining room table in it, and it was tiny. And there's this, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, but and our listeners do too. Like sometimes when you walk into a space and it feels sort of closed in, it's not a comfortable feeling versus a space that has been well designed and has a feeling of spaciousness. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one of the dangers, you know, people can fall into with finding a plan online at houseplans.com or wherever have you. Sometimes plans can look great on the internet or on a PDF or something you print out, but you're right. Once you walk into a space, that's where you really get the feeling for, does it feel comfortable? Is it big enough? Is it too small? And that's where I think an architect has extensive knowledge of homes designed in the past and professional training through the rigorous program it takes to go through all those years of college and exams and whatnot, to be able to have that just that extra bit of precision and knowing what rooms should feel like or how they could live. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
And I don't know if your clients experienced this at Pierce Scott Architects. Like for us, it was our first time working with an architect, and I recall being a little bit hesitant at first, and then at some point in the process, she just won us over, and you know, it was this gain of trust that we got with what she was showing us as the plans were being drawn. And does that have you experienced that with some of your clients, where maybe they're a little hesitant at first, but then they start to see what their house is going to look like, and they, you know, they're like, wow, I would have never thought of that if you hadn't done that.
Yeah, it really does become a relationship, and in most cases, a friendship with her clients, because you spend a lot of time talking back and forth, talking about their ideas. A lot of these ideas are very intimate and personal to them, and so that's, we like to say here that everything begins with the client, with their dream. It's our job to sort of create a vision and reality out of that. And so a lot of what the early on conversations are when clients are a little hesitant is just kind of educating them on the process, the kind of questions that they need to be asking themselves, or looking around at things that they like, or often as important, if not more so, what they don't like. And then as the process continues, yeah, we often find that one moment where, man, they're just really getting it, and all the progress is just exciting. It's something they look forward to, and we're lucky enough to have a lot of clients who have become repeat clients, because I think they just enjoyed the process so much that they want to do it all over again, whether it be in another residence, or oftentimes some of our residential clients will end up buying a piece of property and want to do something commercial.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've experienced this with your clients before at Pierce Scott Architects, where they're building their forever home, their dream home, and they may have a wish list that they give you. But how do you balance at Pierce Scott Architects what the dream, the wish list that the homeowner has with their budget? Because I've heard stories about how I remember seeing something online about someone wanted to sell a piece of property, and it already had some plans drawn, but they couldn't afford to build what the architect had drawn.
Yeah, we often start conversations when clients come on board about budget. If they have a certain budget in mind, it's great for us to know that up front, because we know as a general rule of thumb what a dollar per square foot is in our region, for example. Builders and contractors will often have that answer a little more succinctly. And so the earlier on we can work with a contractor, a general contractor, the better, we find, because we can draw the home of your dreams, but if it's not going to be within what you're trying to spend, then we don't want to waste your time or money either. And so we often try and take those wish lists and kind of read between the lines and find a happy balance. It generally ends up being, between square footage, quality of construction, and kind of hitting those main points on their wish list as the top three things we're going to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. I remember talking to a custom builder one time, and he was just, it never seemed to not surprise him that there were some homeowners that were so willing to kind of skip the process. Just they want to snap their fingers and their home is built, and they don't do enough research on who to hire as a custom builder, and same with an architecture firm. Like what kind of what would you suggest to homeowners in terms of doing their homework before they decide to work with an architect like Pierce Scott Architect?
I think it's a big decision. Oftentimes it can get overlooked in the fervor to really get in your forever home. As you mentioned, a lot of people are in a rush because they want to lock in an interest rate, or they they're just tired of being in the home they're in. Maybe they're in a smaller home and they want to get something bigger. But we really preach the benefit of taking your time with it and make sure you're doing it right, because, you know, it may take 6 to 8 months to design your home, and it may take 14 to 18 months to build it, which sounds like a long time from, you know, our perspective now. But when you're going to be living it for the next 15, 20, 30, 40 years, passing on your children and grandchildren, it's a big decision. So time, you know, taking the time, I think, makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. You have a project in our spring issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine, and we were all very impressed, our editors and graphic designers here, about that particular project. The homeowners wanted to build a home that looked as though it was it started as a barn. They wanted, you know, the do you know what I'm talking about? Which project?
I do. Yeah, that's the barn at May River. It's a project in Palmetto Bluff here in Bluffton. The clients are actually repeat clients. They're contractors themselves, and they also run a rental business as well, and have several properties that we've designed for them over the years. This one in particular, the builder, the husband, is Welsh, and so he had always wanted to do a project that sort of reminded him of his childhood, seeing the old barns in the countryside in Wales. And so we designed this home to look as if it was an old barn. It's actually clad in charred wood siding. It's a Japanese technique called shusugiban. So it's charred and then put out, which is a cool look just from the texture alone, but it also has some material benefits. It ends up being termite and insect resistant, water resistant. It won't warp over time. And it gives a really cool rustic look to the exterior. And then so we did some fun things on the inside. You know, we left the ground floor, which would have been the quote unquote threshing floor of the barn, open with steel trusses. And that's the whole living space. And we converted the upstairs, what would have been the sort of, you know, bale loft, into 5 bedrooms. And it, you know, it has some quirky parts to it, but that was kind of the idea, that it was supposed to feel like something that was repurposed to be a residence later in life.
Lots of exposed beams and things like that, right?
Yep.
Well, that's interesting. Well, hopefully folks will pick up the spring issue of Charleston Home and Design magazine and check out that project. Talk about the process. So someone is maybe they have a piece of property, or they're still looking for one. They know they want to build a custom home. They call Pierce Scott Architects, and kind of walk us through the process.
Sure. The first thing we would want to do is kind of do a feasibility study. We'd get a general idea of what they're looking for on, you know, square footage, amount of bedrooms and bathrooms. Does their lot have a view towards the rear, or is there a view up front? We'll often take homes we've designed in the past with a similar square footage and a similar program and place it on the lot to show them what it might look like. The next step would be to have them come in either in person or over Zoom and have an interview and kind of dig into the details of really what they're looking for. From a program standpoint. So again, do they need a big kitchen? Do they cook a lot? Or does that not matter as much as a family room upstairs where they can watch movies at night with the kids? Once we have that interview, we work up a contract based off of those conversations. And the process of designing is typically a 3-step process, which sort of mirrors a lot of the design review boards that homeowners will go through with their neighborhood. So it's a conceptual process, then we move into preliminary, and then we go into final. And the conceptual is looking at a really basic idea of what the house might look like. We typically start all of our drawings by hand, sketching with pen and pencils. And that's a big draw for people. It's nice to sort of have that tactile feel in those initial conversations. We'll usually have a lot of trace paper out and sketching in front of them during those initial client meetings. And then in the preliminary and final stages, we're pulling it into the computer and creating construction documents that they'll have their builder price off of and then ultimately build off of once we get the permit set out.
Gotcha. And what about construction administration?
So we offer construction administration services as well. We will typically end up visiting the site, you know, two or three times a month during the first phases to make sure that the contractor has all the answers that they need to build the house as we designed it or intended. We'll often visit as needed if they have a certain question, and we're always available by phone. It'll taper off a little bit less once they get into all the finishes and things, because most homeowners are using an interior designer or a selections coordinator through the builder. But we'll often check in on all of our projects to see how they're going and offer our guidance to contractors if they have questions along the way.
Mm-hmm. What, how does Pierce Scott Architects work with absentee owners, people that are building their a second home in the Charleston area and they live in Chicago or wherever?
Sure. That's honestly a majority of our clients these days. As I mentioned earlier, you know, post COVID, everybody knows how to use Zoom and FaceTime and Google Meet. So we often have initial conversations over the phone. We like to have our sort of kickoff meeting to really get the project going in person if possible, but it's not required. And we will often update clients via email weekly, daily in some instances, if we're really getting into the nitty gritty of the plans and the details. And then we'll have regular meetings over Zoom, often with clients, often with the builders, interior designers, other consultants that are on the project throughout all phases of design.
Very good. Well, how can folks get more information about Pierce Scott Architects?
Yeah, if you find yourself in the Bluffton area, feel free to drop by. We're in the Promenade in Old Town, the original 1 square mile of Bluffton. Our office is here at 6 State of Mind Street in the Promenade. You can also go to our website, which is www.pscottarch.com. We have a lot of homes that we've designed on there, a lot of residences as well as commercial projects, a little bit about us. And just feel free to give us a call, and we love to have conversations just about what people have in mind.
And you can find Pierce Scott Architects within the pages of Charleston Home and Design Magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with architect Evan Goodwin with Pierce Scott Architects. Thanks so much, Evan.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And now we're talking with interior designer Amber Jackson with Simply Curated Designs. How are you doing, Amber?
Hey, I'm good, Tim. How are you?
Good. Amber, take a moment and tell everyone about Simply Curated Designs.
Yes. Yeah, so Simply Curated Designs, we are based in Charleston, South Carolina, and we cover most of the low country here, Mount Pleasant, Allopalm, Sullivan's, Ondaw, McClellanville, and going over into West Ashley, really anywhere, you know, around the low country.
Gotcha. And how long has Simply Curated Designs been around?
We have been in business now for 3 years. But definitely not, that's, you know, been in the industry a lot longer than that. We have, I started off, when I started the company, I came from custom kitchens and baths. Mm-hmm. And I was a kitchen and bath designer. And just, you know, that led into me working with Tile and Stone. And, you know, everything kind of snowballs into that. So, you know, if I'm designing a kitchen, the client was asking, you know, how about a new dining room table and chairs? And how about window treatments in my dining room? And now I need bar stools and I need lighting. So it was just kind of an aha moment for me to kind of take that and run with it and start Simply Curated Designs on my own and really do what I love every single day.
You got hit up for a lot of free advice and decided you might as well start charging for it, huh?
That was literally like you hit the nail on the head. I said, man, I'm giving all this free advice and, you know, telling people, yes, that wallpaper looks good here and nobody's paying me for it.
Well, I'll bet those homeowners were not working with an interior designer who for them to ask you about all those other aspects of the home besides what you were offering.
for the kitchen and bathroom design. And that kind of leads to a good question. A lot of homeowners do not hire an interior designer on a project. They may be afraid to ask what it costs. They might be just a little intimidated. They might think that an interior designer is going to push their style on a homeowner. But by the same token, anyone who has ever worked with an interior designer in the past would never do a project without working with an interior designer in the future. Can you talk about how you can help how you have helped homeowners at Simply Curated Designs?
Yeah, and I, you know, again, you hit it again. It's a lot of people are just not educated, and that's okay, right? I mean, you know, they think, okay, we need to do a kitchen renovation. We have to hire, you know, a kitchen company, which, yes, that's, you need to have someone that can do all the labor. However, bringing an interior designer into, let's just say, for example, a kitchen renovation, we are going to help you work through the flow of your kitchen. You know, are you, do you even like to cook? You know, do you need all the bells and whistles in your kitchen? Are you a busy, busy family? Maybe you do take out a few nights a week. You know, we really get the feel for how you live and how you want this new space to look for you and your family. And then we're going to take into consideration countertop, not only the style and the look, but also the material is very important. I would not recommend, let's say, marble to a family that has young kids and some big golden doodles, right? It's going to ruin it. So don't do that. We're going to go over lighting. We're going to do plumbing. We're going to do electrical. We're going to do bar stools. We're going to do everything in this kitchen to make it as functional as it can be for you and such a great investment into your home.
Mm-hmm.
Hiring a designer is also, well, it depends. I'll say that. Let me backtrack. You know, a lot of people think it's unattainable or unaffordable, but really you're investing in your home and investing in the place that you come to after a very long day, and it's your sanctuary. And I feel like that's such a beautiful thing to come home to and just to be the space that you want it to be.
I think that makes perfect sense. You're right. When it comes to renovations, talk about mm-hmm. some of the projects that Simply Curated Design has been involved with.
Yes, we do a lot of kitchen renovations. People still kind of look to me or refer me for kitchen renos. We also will do master bathroom renovations, powder room renovations, even additions. So if you have a very small primary bedroom right now, maybe a tiny primary bath, and you are wanting to expand this, say you've hired a contractor to do an addition for you, we will come in and help with flooring, again, electrical, furniture, window treatments, wall coverings, floor coverings, and then we will go into your bathroom, make sure everything is cohesive and flows together beautifully.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Excellent. It seems like homeowners, maybe it's because of inflation or the economy, but they're very, very value oriented, and they're watching their pennies and a lot. With your experience as a kitchen and bath designer, has any homeowner ever asked you to design the kitchen, and then the homeowner shops that design, is able to shop that design to different cabinet companies so it's really an apples to apples comparison of pricing?
Yeah. So when we design a kitchen, and I have, you know, we use kitchen software here at SCD, and we go out, we do our own measurements, we will design the kitchen with our software. And we actually work with a few cabinet makers. So if let's say your budget allows for custom cabinetry, we can take that to our cabinet maker, say, hey, you know, can you please give us a bid on what it would cost to complete this kitchen? Also, say you are a little bit more budget conscious and custom cabinetry is not in the ballpark. That is okay. It is, you know, everybody has a different budget, and everybody's budget looks different. So We also work with a few manufacturers that we recommend to our clients, you know, hey, get a few prices. Let's take these drawings to a few different cabinet shops. You know, look at the construction of the cabinetry, see the lead times, first of all. You know, are you needing these cabinets installed in less than 3 months or less than 6 months? You know, do you have a year? All of that is really also going to be a huge factor in who does the actual cabinet work. Lead times, they aren't as bad as they were 4 years ago, but sometimes they can be, you know, anywhere from 6 weeks. And then if you go into custom, anywhere from 12 to 14 weeks or longer.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah, that was something that we did when we built our house. Was we had an interior designer draw the kitchen plan, and then we out of necessity with my position at Charleston Home and Design Magazine, we had to let our cabinet companies bid on it. And it was nice to be able to see a side by side comparison of pricing and so forth. I remember one cabinet company got mad at us though for promoting that as advice to other homeowners, that they get a design done and shop it around. And I understand why, but because a lot of people will go to the cabinet shop, and that's fine, and get the bid, and but they just there's a leap of faith they have to take that, you know, the price is going to be fair and everything like that. And
100%. I don't think there's anything wrong with getting a few different quotes, and when it comes to construction, you know, especially if you're shopping cabinets, I think it's totally fine. And I kind of encourage my clients, honestly, even if, you know, they need a contractor recommendation, and I can give them a few different contractors I've worked with in the past. And I say, you know, take them, I'll meet with you at the house every time a contractor shows up, get a few quotes. You know, it's when you go car shopping, you don't just pick one car. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with looking at a few different pricing options for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. A lot of people are getting into the short-term rental business, maybe with an ADU they have, or they want to build an ADU, or maybe maybe this is a second home that they're purchasing in Charleston and they want to rent it out and then use that house when they come down for vacation and so forth. Maybe they have plans to move here eventually. But do you ever help homeowners with rental properties?
I do, and I absolutely love it. It's probably my second favorite, other than helping the actual clients with their home, their personal home. We have done several vacation rentals that the client has purchased. Maybe they are completely renovating this house. They want to come to Charleston, spend time with their family when they're here, but also, you know, profit from it and make some money back by renting it out short term with a company. We have so many great vacation rental properties in Charleston, especially on the beaches. And we have had experience on Kiowa. We have also, we just finished a project in Wild Dunes. It was a brand new construction, and my client brought me in the very beginning before the concrete was even poured. And that was such a great opportunity to really get in there, work with the builder, work with their selections coordinator. And we just finished up. Hopefully it'll be on the rental market within the next couple of weeks. And this is a family from Maryland. They have 4 children. So this is a 5-bed, 5.5-bath home in Wild Dunes, and it is just absolutely beautiful. There was really, we did a lot of fun things in there. And, you know, one thing that the client was able to do was bring some furniture from up north down that she had that she wasn't using anymore. And we are more than happy to use existing pieces that our clients have, whether it's in their personal home or a vacation rental. And we really wanted this house to have a sense of luxury. So all the finishes were really nice. We focused heavy on wallpaper, very coastal, but also with a little modern flair to it. And this house is just something that I'm very proud of, and it's going to be great. So rental properties are really fun. They're, you know, because it's a vacation house, for them. So they wanted to be fun and light and airy and full of color and textures and representative of the Low Country when people do come and vacation here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you're not the only short-term rental on the block. So you have, you're competing against others. And so if you want to make sure that your house or your unit stays rented consistently, you want to make sure it looks its best. But
and it's also about getting top dollar, right? I mean, there are a lot of vacation rentals on the market, you know, and it's funny if you think about it, and I can speak from personal experience. When you're looking at an Airbnb out of town, who's the one really, really choosing that home? Probably the woman. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're flipping through photos and you're looking and you're like, no, I'm okay. But then you see that one that does have the beautiful furniture. It does have, you know, kind of a personal touch to it. It's really pretty. I mean, you are going to be able to rent that property and get top dollar for your investment, which is very important.
Mm-hmm. Do you choose materials, different materials, knowing that it's going to be a rental?
Yes, absolutely. We really focus on, you know, let's start with the bathrooms and even the kitchen. You know, we stay away from anything that's going to be high maintenance, meaning a marble or a natural stone. We stick with porcelains, ceramics, and quartz, really user-friendly selections in there. All of our furniture is going to be, it's going to have a fabric that is washable and or, you know, easy to clean. All of the rugs that we choose have pet yarn, so it is very easy to clean. If you get a little stain on it, it is very easy to wipe that stain up and have it looking brand new, you know, for the next renter. So if we have an upholstered headboard, I make sure it has Sunbrella fabric or Krypton or something that is easily cleanable. So we really focus on not only the homes being beautiful for the family when they come in town, you know, with their kids and their, you know, to entertain, but for the renters, for it to be beautiful and functional. I think that's very important. You know, you wouldn't want to put a velvet chair in a rental that's, now we're so lucky, fabric has come such a long way that they offer velvet that is indoor outdoor. So we can put an outdoor velvet chair inside and nobody would know the difference because it's so comfortable, but it's also, we can clean it.
Yeah. There's going to be wear and tear, no doubt.
100%.
People have a different mentality when they're on vacation. They're not, it's not.
Yeah, we're also conscious on price, right? So talk about budget a little bit for some of these vacation rentals. You know, we want it to look great, but we're not going to choose the highest of the high. You know, I do a scale with my clients called good, better, best. We're not going to choose the best of everything price-wise for these rentals in some areas because we need to be okay with maybe throwing that rug away if after a year it's good. It's been cleaned enough. It's had its day in the sun. It needs to go, you know, and that's not going to be something that the homeowner or client is upset about because it wasn't, you know, a $5,000 rug in the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the Simply Curated Designs ad in Charleston Home and Design magazine. And, one of the things that, you have one of your services is virtual design. What do you mean by virtual design?
Yeah. Virtual design is another really fun avenue for us. It also branches us out, right, out of Charleston. So we're able to take clients. Say, I did a virtual client in Sapphire, North Carolina. We wrapped up end of last year, and it was a full kitchen renovation as well as an entire living room, dining room makeover. So I was able to visit the clients on this particular project because it was a kitchen renovation. We went up there a few times, met with the contractor, met with the design center that was handling all of this, you know, cabinets. I laid out the kitchen, designed a laundry mud area, and then we chose all of the fabrics and all of the furniture for the living room and dining room virtually. So what does that mean for me? It's a little bit more work because you are going, you know, with someone that does not live here. So I will mail fabric samples to my clients. I will mail finishing samples to my clients. So even though they may be 8 hours away, they can still touch and feel the fabrics, see the samples in person, and approve them based on everything that I send. Everything with virtual clients has to be extremely detailed. You know, they know everything from the back end. Communication is also very, very important. I have a client right now in Charlotte, North Carolina, that we are doing a living room refresh for her, and she was a referral. A friend of hers lives in Charleston that was a dear client of mine, and she is entrusting us, you know, in another state to redo her living room. It's really exciting.
That's great. Well,
lots of Zoom meetings.
Yeah, no doubt. How can folks get more information about Simply Curated Designs?
Yeah, so if they want to head over to our website, simplycurateddesigns.com, we have a Let's Chat button, and there's a little form on that screen that you can fill out. Just ask a few questions so we can get a little bit more information on your project. And when you reach out to us, we will send you an email, usually within 24 to 48 hours, to schedule a complimentary discovery call with us where we can learn more about your project and what you're looking for.
All right, great. And you can always find Simply Curated Designs within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Well, we've been talking with interior designer Amber Jackson with Simply Curated Designs. Thanks so much, Amber.
Thanks, Tim.
And now we're talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture. How you doing, JR?
Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having me.
You bet. JR, take a moment and tell everyone about Remark Landscape Architecture.
Yeah, we're a landscape architecture firm in Charleston. We've been now 16 years in business. 2007, like right before the recession. Yeah, thank you. And there's a team of 8 of us. We have 8 designers and landscape architects and a full-time office manager. So we have a great team right now.
Wow. It's great to see our clients, advertisers in Charleston Home and Design magazines, how they've grown so much over the years. And so Remark Landscape Architecture, you folks got your start right before the recession hit?
It is, yeah. I was working out of a spare bedroom in my house.
Well, that's good timing, right?
It was, yeah.
Because everything halted, all the custom home building kind of trickled out, and your wife is also a landscape architect, right?
Yeah, correct. Now we homeschool our 3 kids, but yeah, she is a landscape architect as well.
Gotcha. So it was just the 2 of you when you started?
It was.
And I'm sure you paid your dues over in those early years, and now you have 8. Landscape
yes.
architects?
Yeah. Wow. We've learned a lot through the last 16 years.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what are some of the notable projects that Remark Landscape Architectures has worked on?
You know, biggest one, we've done Lewis Barbecue, mm-hmm. Butcher and Bee. Everything's half mile north. We actually just walked by earlier today, 55 Romney Street, an 8-story multifamily project. We actually have some rain gardens on that project. We designed the deck on it.
Where are the rain gardens?
They're in the right of way and out the street. Yeah, that's actually the first project in the city to allow rain gardens in the right of way.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah, if you and Charleston Home and Design magazine is located in the upper part of the peninsula. Remark Landscape Architecture your office used to be almost across the street. And if you drive around this area, the Upper Peninsula, you're going to see Remark Landscape Architectures work all over the place, right?
Yeah, it is. I feel like we've helped transform the Upper Peninsula with our aesthetics and thinking about sustainable design and using native plantings.
Mm-hmm. I'll bet a lot of people have taken photos of the work that Remark Landscape Architecture did and said, let's try to do this in our backyard.
Yeah. Actually, I just got an email this week from a client saying, I've seen a lot of your commercial work over the years. We want to talk to you about doing a design for our mm-hmm. house.
Yeah. It's interesting how the commercial can blend over into residential as well. Well, I just wanted to ask, like how did Remark Landscape Architecture? You didn't just go to school for that right out of high school, and talk about your early years for JR.
Yeah, so I grew up in Ohio, rural Ohio, and on 9 acres, playing in the creeks and fields, and just loving the outdoors. Didn't know anything about landscape architecture. Was going to school at Kent State for business management and said this wasn't for me. So I went to the Air Force and I got stationed in Charleston. I was a jet mechanic on the 141s. And my aunt, who was a director of University of Georgia Press, said, I really think you should think about landscape architecture. Hmm. So I took a course at Trident Tech for landscape design and I loved it. Huh. And so I changed my residency from Ohio to Georgia, and so I get in-state tuition, and that's where I met my wife, and we graduated, and so we got to come back to the Lowcountry.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you for your service too.
Thank you.
That's really important. And then and then you started Remark Landscape Architecture, and you've worked very hard to do this, but everything kind of caught fire, and a lot of projects the developers sought out Remark Landscape Architecture, and what neighborhoods would people see your designs in?
Yeah, we've done a lot of work. I've actually the other day we've done 160 projects on Daniel Island, residential projects. And then right now on Captain's Island, on Daniel Island, you'll see some really nice projects there. I mean, we do work at Kiowa, Seabrook, really, I mean, Park Circle, everywhere. We design at all different levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking of designing at different levels, talk about the tiered landscape design packages that Remark Landscape Architecture offers.
Yeah, that's something we've always wanted to focus on design for everybody. And some people think, well, I can't afford maybe hire a landscape architect. So I've tried to figure out ways that anybody could really hire a landscape architect with our firm. So we have different levels of services that we can offer. Still the most excellent design for the level of service that they're looking for. Mm-hmm. So we have different packages for that. So they're different price points depending on what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And we do that at even at high-end levels. We do the same thing out at Kiowa and Seabrook. We'll have a basic level, maybe something that's more involved. And then we have, where it's really involved designs, custom, everything.
How do you overcome the occasional instance where the homeowner just gets in their mind, we're going to budget $5,000 for the landscape, and that's it's not enough. And how do you convince the homeowner of the value of what Remark Landscape Architecture is offering?
No, it makes a huge difference. I'll give an example. When I sold my house at Park Circle, it was just a really well thought out plan. It all fit in a small space. But ended up an architect bought our house, and he was really saw how well the space was done, and it felt really nice. And I think that was one of the selling points. Mm-hmm. It's just a well thought out space.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's interesting that an architect in particular appreciated that, because there is most definitely a difference between structures that an architect is involved with versus those that they are not. In fact, we're doing a feature for our summer issue called The Architect Difference, mm-hmm. to kind of try to show our readers that the value of hiring an architect or a landscape architect in your case.
No, it does. I mean, we just built a new home in Somerville, and we hired an architect for a house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just, and the same is true with a landscape architect. You get a more interesting, looking, performing, project than you would without. And I would imagine you kind of look at when you're driving down the road, you can't help but look at, different yards and so forth. You're looking at them through the eyes of a landscape architect, and you're like, oh, they planted that way too close to the house, or they did this or that.
All the time, and now I'm hearing my kids say these things as we're driving down the road, so I think I must have said it a lot over the years.
Well, your kids have hung out with you at our home shows before in your booth, so you're naturally you're passing a few of those things on to them, right?
Yes.
Well, that's good. Well, have you how many years has Remark Landscape Architecture been around?
So we're going on our 17th year, 2007.
Do you still have the same passion? You haven't lost your...
No. I love what I'm doing. It's a little bit different. I'm not in the office every single day grinding things out, but I'm still designing, but I'm out every day meeting people, more business development, mm-hmm. and just overseeing plans and mentoring the people in my office.
Mm, gotcha. And the question that we always seem to have a conversation about, and it's so relevant to everyone here in Charleston, is drainage. And has Remark Landscape Architecture, have you folks ever been called in on a project that maybe is completed and they're still having flooding problems in their backyard or something?
All the time. Yeah. We consider ourselves experts in the stormwater side of things, especially in residential. That's one of the first things we're thinking about. What's happening underground? Where is this water going? We had a really good testimonial from a client at Isle of Palms, where pretty much everyone around her was flooding, but she did not flood. She did not have any standing water in her property. Mm. And that's because we really thought out the design of that. And I know just recently we were working on a project in North Charleston where the client had a lot of drainage issues, and we're basically creating almost the entire property is going to be a series of rain gardens and to accommodate that stormwater, because we just know there's really nowhere for that water to go. There's a lot of clay. And so we're just trying to think, what can we do to make this a solvable solution?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What is the answer? I mean, do you have to dig down and put gravel down, or what's...
It's a combination of things. We just, in this case, we're creating a series of berms and digging down, because we have to create some holding capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we plan a lot of things. A lot of times you'll see, I've noticed rain gardens where people just have a depression and just a few plants with some mulch. Typically, when we're designing a rain garden, we have no mulch at all, and we're just using plants.
Mm.
And so that way, when they grow in over time, they just occupy that entire space, and the roots go down deep, which helps break up that soil, which then will help draw that water down further. Mm. That's just one example. We really think things through a little bit differently.
Right, right. Interesting. Well, how can folks get more information about Remark Landscape Architecture?
Yeah, we're on Facebook and Instagram, but then go to our website, remarkstudiollc.com.
All right, great. Well, we have been talking with landscape architect J.R. Kramer with Remark Landscape Architecture, and you can always find Remark Landscape Architecture within the pages of Charleston Home and Design magazine and on charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Thanks so much, J.R.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Talking About a Home, a home show on the radio. To make contact with any of the companies featured on today's show, or listen to previous week's shows, visit charlestonhomeanddesign.com. That's charlestonhomeanddesign.com. Please tune in again next weekend.